Praise and thanks be unto the Lord that we can sing about this precious love of God. And truly, it never ceases. We, with our love which we think to have, it probably has a beginning and a quick end. But the love of God has no beginning and no end. From the beginning, God loved mankind, and He loves it until our time. And we are happy and grateful that also we could taste the love of God. Praise and thanks be to His wonderful name. Let us read a word of God before we pray from Romans 15. Romans 15 from verse 1. Here Paul says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, "The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Up to here, this precious and wonderful word of God. Dear brothers and sisters, we also, as long as we have the breath of life and we come together, we always want to praise the Lord, glorifying Him. And the Scripture foretold it by the prophets. It was said that the Gentiles will praise God, and we come from the Gentiles. But we are redeemed, delivered, and we don't want to cease to give God the glory and worship. We are always grateful when we come together to have fellowship, raising our voices in one accord, and also the singing for the glory of His name. Brothers and sisters, not that we want to hear or see one another, but we expect that God blesses us richly when we send our prayers and praise up to Him. Therefore, let us now stand up, and together let us ask for His blessing. Faithful God, your people have come together to praise your wonderful name, to worship you Lord, you foretold it already through the mouth of the holy prophets that it will be this way. Lord, make us ready. Make us as you want us to be, that we praise you in a well-pleasing way. Lord, do it tonight, Lord. Do it now in this hour, O God. We look up to you and we pray, don't be far, but be nigh to us, be gracious to us. We were in sins and transgressions, but you made us your people, you redeemed us, you delivered us. Therefore, we glorify your grace, we praise your love, and we worship you. We thank you for the joy which was given to us, Lord, in your word, and for the peace which no one can give us but you alone, the peace which also can take no one away from us, the true peace which comes from you. We thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory also tonight. Be now with us and bless us all richly. Also all those who could not come, who are on vacation, be with all. We pray you, Lord, may you meet the sick and those who suffer. You are the great physician. You are the great helper. You are the Lord of all. Therefore, we worship you and glorify your wonderful name. Please be with us tonight and bless all your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks be unto the Lord for the privilege that we can be here again today. I assumed that we would only be amongst ourselves, but we nevertheless rejoice about every visitor who has come to thank our Lord together, to praise his name, to hear His word. The visitors are the relatives of Brother Gajdač. Then the relatives of Sister Witt have also come. And in the last row at the right side, a brother from Poland, the other two from Czechoslovakia. We welcome you very warmly. We wished that all would really feel at home in the presence of God, that all tensions, everything what could rob us of the blessing, that it's just taken away, that we freely and happily could meet our God. The everyday life has its troubles and needs, the earthly life also, and this will remain like this until the end. But in the same way, all children of God trusted the Lord in every situation, at all times, and they could time and again experience His help anew. And the same we can also say. God is faithful. He keeps what He promises. How grateful we can be that God is not a man, that He doesn't change His mind, doesn't change His program, but bringing to pass His counsel, which He purposed from eternity. I'm currently writing a tract, and there I mention the thought that despite the little interruption which happened in the Garden of Eden, the eternal plan of God will nevertheless come to pass. Basically, God has taken into account everything, even the fall. Everything God has taken into account into His great plan from eternity on. Nothing can surprise Him. Nothing can happen of which He could say, "This I didn't know." No, God is God. And this is a wonderful confidence which we may have, that we can totally trust in Him. The plan of salvation is not a story of man, the history of God with mankind. There are two things. There's history and there's the plan of salvation. History has human traits, but the plan of salvation is the plan of God and the eternal counsel which He brings to pass with us. And every time when I think about it, that we have the privilege to live in these days, having have heard the word of God freshly from the throne, then it fills me with a deep joy. And I hope that we all get also grateful, and that we, as already mentioned, that we lay aside the everyday life with all its problems and sorrows, and that we really trust the Lord wholeheartedly so that He can bless us. I don't come into these two meetings tonight and tomorrow morning with a finished program, not even with prepared scriptures, but simply to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit with the Lord and with all of us. And I have to say, the word which we all read cannot be exhausted at all, neither in one nor in two meetings. Here it says in the first verse, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." What is in this one verse only? It is a big difference whether a man pleases oneself and despises others, or whether God is well pleased with you and me. And here we may also confidently say, whoever is pleased with himself, with him God cannot be well pleased. For before God, every man missed out. Let him be who he is. Blessed is he who alone can understand this thought. Only people who are not well pleased with themselves, with them God can be well pleased. And I tell you why. For these are people who need the help of God, who come to him, who cry to him, and on them he has mercy. To them he turns. And yet we are here admonished, the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And not to please ourselves. Let us take this verse to heart, and in future, putting it into practice. God's word is not just here that we time and again hear it, but that we take it to heart, that it is written into our hearts by the Spirit, and that we then also put it into practice. Who is ready to go along with this? Who is ready to say, Lord, help me to comply with this word? Yes, thanks be to God that there are still some here. I know the point to which we come here, and which makes us a bit hesitating, is of course not the being ready to be available for others, but the first part, they that are strong, and who could claim and say, all right, I am strong, and only then you can bear the infirmities of the weak. And so, let us all be strengthened by the Lord. For thus it is written, let the weak say, I am strong, and the coward say, I am a hero. With God, all this is possible, and this happens without our efforts. We just need to be available for the Lord. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. That what applied for God fell on Christ. And we must count with it, that what applies for Christ will fall on us. For through the church, the work of God is continued on the earth. Not that we would have a program, but we let ourselves be placed into the program of God. And this is not just being said, but this is so. By the grace of God, we let ourselves be placed into His program. Are you grateful for it? That we are not outsiders. We are not just observers as people who hear sometimes of the end time and of Bible prophecy and of their fulfillment, but that we may be part of them on whom God's promises are being fulfilled in these days. That we may be people with whom God has made a covenant. People whom He pardoned, whom He has drawn unto Himself. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. After all, it's a living hope. I said it many times, and I gave the reasons why it is a living hope which we have. And I succeed the best in all the heathen races, if one can give the comparison that all religion founders have died and remained in the grave, and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that He is alive, and thus we have a living hope in us. It works out very easily. How grateful we can be for it, that we have a simple biblical faith, but which has a divine impact in itself. And on the day of the return of the Lord, it will have been fully manifested, that we, in this earthly, corrupt and miserable vessels, have carried a divine eternal treasure, and that God will take care for that this mortal body will be overwhelmed of the immortality, as it is written. Then the corrupt will put on incorruption, and the mortal will put on immortality. This is written like this. And as on Christ every word of God has become true, which applied for Him, so on the church every word will be fulfilled which is written for her. In another way, we cannot know God. In another way, we cannot believe. And this is a great confidence which we have. We can really say a hallelujah to that, a praise God. For where is a people like the people of God? People who believe the Lord, who trust Him, who don't sort out this we take and this we don't take, this we interpret and this and that, but who can believe as the Scripture has said. This is the true faith which once for all was delivered unto the saints. And for this we want to contend, for thus it is written, contend for the faith which once for all was delivered unto the saints. Who are the saints? Who are the beloved? Who are the children of God? all who are begotten by the Word and the Spirit, and who were born again, who were pardoned, who received forgiveness of their sins in the faith of Jesus Christ. Then it says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Who is ready to go also along with this? Who is ready to say, Lord, let me become the way as you have said it here in your word, that we are like-minded one toward another, not according to your and my way, but according to Christ Jesus. Let everybody have the mind of Christ. I just read it earlier. There our Lord says, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but that he himself serves and gives his life for an atonement. That was it. Not living for oneself, but to die for them who were given over to death, to help them who could not help themselves, to join them with God who were separated from him. This shall be our mind, the mind which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now the God of patience and consolation, not the patience coming from you. From God comes everything what can help us to bring us forward spiritually. Grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. How totally different it would be with us if we always would be aware of that the Lord sees us, hears us, that everything what happens around us and happens with us, that it happens in the presence of God. If we would really believe that the Lord does not leave us nor forsake us, but that he always listens what we say, watches what we do, how would we deal with one another? How would we choose the words for one another? What kind of attitude would we have for one another? If we would know what we do to one another, this we do to our Lord, who has loved us, who has redeemed us, and who has drawn us unto himself. Then comes verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one belongs to the other. It's like a chain, link to link lined up. And we need everything to have that, so that God can come to his right, namely what is written here, and not only here, but in all of the Holy Scripture. There's the wonderful verse, how shall God not with him also give us all things? God not only requires things, he gives everything what he wants to see in your and in my life. This he wants to give us. How shall God not with him also freely give us all things? Yes, from His fullness we received grace for grace. Also tonight, we may receive from the fullness of God grace for grace, comfort, hope, confidence, strengthening, everything what we need, we may receive from His grace. Then it comes, of course, in verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We already spoke of these words and about these verses many a times. God received us in Christ just as we were. And then He, of course, transformed us. We have to receive one another just as we are and leave the transforming to God in each one of us. We cannot transform us ourselves, let alone somebody else. But God is able to line us up on our inside with Him and according to His word, so that the transforming can take place from the inside. And then it is lasting. You can speak to people outwardly, telling them precisely what they may not do, telling them everything. And perhaps someday they don't even do it. But with this, no work of God happened in them yet. It must come back to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which can become the power of God in the believers and in the listeners, which grasps us on our inside and then transforms us. To me, a thought comes now that we cannot go into any further. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. This is a point which became great for me personally. We are all grown up here and in the school of God. But it just reminds on the original sin. No man of God could bypass it. Not even Abraham, who received the promise 430 years before the circumcision was even introduced. And this had to remind on the original sin. There was no way around it. God didn't command man anything special, but only to the woman He said, "With pain you shall bear your children." But when the time came and God began to give the promises, establishing the covenant, then also the circumcision came. We could read it. I looked it up in Romans chapter 4. Here it says, Romans 4 from verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised. As I said already, we don't want to go into details, but all who do not recognize this divine revelation of the original sin in the Garden of Eden, I don't know how they want to place and consider the plan of salvation and the fall altogether, how they can accept redemption if it is not revealed to them by divine revelation. The one interlocks, of course, with the other. Here we read, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." I ask you today, why did Christ our Lord had to be circumcised on the eighth day? Did you all read it? That's how it is written in the Bible. There's no getting around on the divine revelation of the word, and we can be grateful that right in our days, from Genesis to Revelation, all of the plan of salvation of God was so clearly revealed as never before. And then there are still people who think that the divine revelation of the word is a point of contention. It's a point of faith that God can also reveal it to us by the Holy Spirit. As long as we argue about things which God reveals, we are in another boat. He who is in the boat with the Lord, he will be silent, he will listen, and to him revelation will be given by his grace. There is another word which I still wanted to read from Ephesians, which most certainly could fit here. Ephesians chapter 1, the election of God and the revelation of his will and of his counsel is the great and wonderful in these days. It says here in Ephesians in chapter 1 from verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Let us stop here for a moment. Has blessed us. God's people is a blessed people, blessed with all spiritual blessings of God. And now, perhaps the one or the other will think by himself, "I don't want to lie to myself. I'm still missing this. I'm still missing that." Precious heart, this sincere assessment, I do myself, as everybody of us who we are here, and all who perhaps will hear this sermon. One thing we may clearly differentiate, that we always agree with God in that what he says in his word. We have to agree with God and believe that this is the truth, and then will be given to us what he already gave us. This is the way of faith. I don't lie to myself when I believe the word of God. I simply find out that this and that I don't have yet. This is right. But then I find out that God has given it to me already. That I only through unbelief don't see the thing materialized yet. And here we are all challenged and also supported by the grace of God. To agree with the Lord. Just to say, "Faithful God, I don't look on the visible things, but on you as the invisible, as I would see you. I believe what you have said in your word. And I possess it already. Give me the faith that it can be manifested. And give me your spirit who can quicken it." One has to walk this way of faith with God. We are on the best way to to it. It continues, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Amen. We see that the man of God did not fiddle around with if and but rather handling the work of God in all reverence as it was worthy of God, and has shown the work of redemption as being perfectly finished for all believers whom the Lord ordained for it and whom He pardoned. It is not a arrogance, but really the faith which was in them and is in us today who belong to the Lord. After all, we didn't bring anything with us, only a poor, miserable life, which was not even useful for us, let alone for the Lord. But that's how we are coming to Him. As children of men, we are made children of God. Those who were afar off were made nigh. The lost were saved. Is this not something wonderful? Oh, that we could newly rejoice about that, what God has done in us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So, from God's point of view, everything is finished. Precious heart, believe it. Don't look anymore on yourself and on the circumstances, not on the everyday life with all its problems. There are more work days than Sundays, this we all know. But one thing we know, that the Lord has redeemed us, that our guilt is atoned, our sin is forgiven, that we received new eternal life from God. Here it says, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Although it has not yet been manifested, yet it will be manifested, that the fullness of God will be made known in the church and through the church. I read it to you, if I find it, that the same fullness of God which was in Christ is also in the church. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye have the fullness in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now I ask you, do we want to believe it as it is written? Amen. We can't help it. If we as believers don't believe, who shall then believe what God has said in His Word. Here, in Ephesians, we read that He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And here, we are told, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Why has the fullness of God, which was a spiritual fullness, why has it come into an earthly body in Jesus Christ our Lord? So that this earthly body would be given as a sacrifice for all who need redemption and who would accept it, so that the same fullness of the Spirit could be in the redeemed. So, as Brother Branham has said it in one place, and this agrees with the Gospel of John, God in Christ and Christ in the Church. Everything in all arranged and willed by God. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do we all believe this? All right. We say amen to it. And now comes the second part. With the first part, we have no problem. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Here we can say amen, amen, amen. But with this, you and me was not yet given the answer which we need. It straightway continues. And ye have all the fullness in Him. We are included into this program of God. It was about us. Do you think the Lord came for His own sake? He came for our sake. He wanted to redeem us. He wanted to bring us back into the divine stand. He wanted to pardon us. Firstly, all the fullness dwelt in Him bodily, so that it can now dwell in us. After we accepted the redemption through the precious blood of the Lamb. And ye are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Let us believe this with all our heart. Now we again could be real and say, but this is not seen yet. All right, do we want to look on the visible and speak in unbelief and hurt God by it? Or do we want to trust the Lord and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. As certain as the fullness of God dwelt in you, my Lord and Savior, so certain you redeemed me, so that this fullness of God can dwell in us, the believers. That's how the program of God looks like. And therefore, we are also called sons and daughters of God. Now back to the word in Ephesians. Here it says, from verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. How wonderful that we can say this with a divine absolute. It's a big difference whether one assumes something or whether the thing is so. God made Himself much effort. He has put the promises for these last days upon the lampstand. He has sent a prophet so that the word of prophecy can be preached in the church, that it's revealed and then starts to shine in a dark place. That's how it is written of our Lord. And so also for the last days, those who were in darkness, they've seen a bright light. And for the last days, at evening time, there shall be light. Prophetic phases, which have a special significance before God. And so, we don't have to interpret anymore and explain, but to believe and to become a part of this divine plan of salvation, to really serve the Lord and following Him without having our own program. It's always easy to look into church history and to say, many have preached of the kingdom of God and they built their own kingdoms. And then one can mean hundreds, but then one has to be so real and ask oneself the question, Almighty God, do we build within your kingdom our own kingdom? Or have we made ourselves available for you? Is our sincere prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Of course, if we are real and look back, we can say all denominations have preached of the kingdom of God and have built their own kingdom. But when we come into this time, then we have to be just as real and say, many have taken the word for this time and made their own thing out of it. And it's no more the thing of God which they preach. Everybody builds a little kingdom for himself, gathers a few followers who are available, and still think to be a part of the kingdom of God. Beloved, in the kingdom of God, there is no room for your or my kingdom. And here I could read a word from the prophet Daniel that says, in those days, the Lord God will build a kingdom, but all the other kingdoms will be subject to it and serve it. This applies also on the Church of the Living God. Either we build our own kingdom or we are in the kingdom of God and are built up within this kingdom of God. To it are two things necessary. Firstly, that we understand the kingdom of God does not come outwardly. One cannot say it is here or there. The kingdom of God must be within you and in me. And then you, by the kingdom of God, which God erects in you, you will be taken into the kingdom of God. This is the whole secret of which we speak. Not just a thing about which we theorize, but in the practice, we want to see it as it is. I say it very openly. I consider myself to be too good to be a part of my own business. I would not continue for one day or for one hour if I would not know 100% before the Almighty God that I was placed amidst His kingdom, because His kingdom was laid into me. Yes, you can say that again, brother. This is the plain truth. Everything else leads at the end to such a horrible disappointment. which today nobody can imagine. And don't you believe that the drunkards and all these people will be disappointed. They are waiting for nothing. What shall come? The disappointment will be with them who wait for it, who think to meet the bridegroom, who think to partake in the rapture and exclude all the others. We exclude no one. We let ourselves be included by God, and we want that His kingdom is within us, and that we are in His kingdom. Do you all have the desire? The kingdom of God in us, and we with the kingdom of God in the kingdom of God, so that the Lord comes to His right, that He can manifest Himself. Herein is the whole mystery. Receive ye one another, just as God received you in Christ. Kingdom of God in us, and we in the kingdom of God. Out of His fullness, we received grace for grace. Also tonight. For me, this is something great. We don't need a mighty sermon. We only need the Lord, who quickens unto us His great matter, and lets us know, I have laid my word into you, which is determined in these last days to become reality in my kingdom. And by it, I laid already my kingdom in you. And it's not of this world. That's what our Lord says. But it must be within us. If it's only outwardly, we can all forget it. We can all forget it. And for many, the kingdom of God is sadly an outward thing. It must be within us if we want to be in this kingdom. And I believe that God has done it. Look, John the Baptist had a word of God, which was part of the course of the kingdom of God. And I'm asking you tonight, how did he start his sermon? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He had a word in him which he carried, and this word was already a part of the beginning of the kingdom of God in his days. Today it's our turn. We carry the word of God, which is a part of the kingdom of God for these last days. And we cannot do otherwise but to say the same. How did our Lord start? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In him and through him, the word of God was fulfilled, which was part of the kingdom of heaven. Beloved, that we could grasp it. The law and the prophets were until John, and from that time on, the kingdom of God is preached. The man carried Isaiah 40 in himself. He had Malachi 3 in him, a word of God, which was a part of the kingdom of God. And this word was in him, and he was in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks be unto our God. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, but the true and clear word of God. And if the end-time message is hidden, then it's hidden to them who get lost. Paul says it. If the gospel which we preach is hidden, then it's hidden to them who are lost. But to them who get saved, it is revealed. This humbles us under the mighty hand of God. This makes us little. And we must say, Lord, who are we? Who was John? Who were all the prophets? And who are we? We cannot be seen nor heard. But before God, we are something precious. He loved us intimately. The Lord shed his blood for us. He redeemed a church and purchased it, his eternal inheritance. People in his kingdom who have the word within themselves, which shall become reality in the kingdom of God. People who made a covenant with God, and God made a covenant with them. People who understood what the Lord is doing in these days, according to his word, in his kingdom. Are you grateful for it? Are you happy that God's word gives such a comfort, such a confidence, such a clarity, which no man on earth could have or bring? It just flows to us by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And is it right? I am not mistaken. The matter is clear before our spiritual eyes. We see what's all about. Not about this and not about that. Within you, namely the Word, which in the kingdom of God, at a certain point of time, shall be fulfilled. God's promises in us, so that they become a reality and are fulfilled through us within the kingdom of God. I can just say, may God today may give all the grace to grasp this, and by revelation to see it, that we are ordained to be a part of his kingdom in these last days. To recognize the truth, to be set free, being placed into the kingdom of our God in these days. May God prevent to build our own kingdom within his kingdom. Never ever will this be. All who were sent by God, they never worked for themselves or in their own name. They prepared the way for the Lord. That's how John started. That's how the apostles continued, and thus it is until this very day. Why did Brother Branham not establish a church? Only one local church, no denomination. Many have heard him from various denominations or free fellowships which already existed, but he himself didn't establish any church. He didn't build his own kingdom within the kingdom of God. No, he preached the word which belonged to the kingdom of God, and all who receive it, believing it, and are coming into the kingdom of God, through them and in them, the word of the kingdom of God becomes a living reality. What did the Lord do after his resurrection? He started to speak about the kingdom of God and about everything what had to take place. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. We have nothing own, no program, only that what God is doing in these days. If we are misunderstood by it, then you must say, that's how it also was with all the prophets and apostles and also with the Lord. We rather want to be misunderstood by men and find grace before God than to be understood by all and find no grace with God. May he help us that we all believe this tonight as a divine fact, as a reality, as certain as the promises belonging to the kingdom of God are in us, so certain will we be placed into the kingdom of God. So that within the kingdom of God, everything what still has to take place can be fulfilled. We are not only waiting for it, we know that it will take place. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In you we have the certainty. In you we have the fullness. Give us all grace that we grasp it by faith, that we don't fiddle around on ourselves, but that we trust in you. Thank you that you have spoken. Thank you that you comforted. Thank you for the edification. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank you tonight for the clarity and the truth of your word. I thank you that your kingdom is a divine reality here on earth. Your word is in our hearts, the word of promise. I thank you that the gospel of the kingdom is being preached to all peoples and nations, and nothing is missing in it. The whole counsel of God is being proclaimed. I thank you wholeheartedly for it. Hallelujah. Lord, you are wonderful. You are glorious. You are present. You have spoken with us. Your kingdom is not of this world. There is also no wisdom of this world. In your kingdom, your word counts. Hallelujah. You are king in your kingdom. O Lord, may you take over the rulership over all of us. Faithful God, we want every word which shall still be fulfilled in your kingdom as a divine promise. We want to carry it in us. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory and worship to your name, that the kingdom of God is already in us, and we in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto you throughout all eternity. Amen.